everybody, and we're in session. I'm glad you're waterproof. It was not a good night. You like that thing,
yeah,
don't you?
I like it.
Well, I'll wing it as much as you like. I mean, I love a new toy, but this is not a new toy. Welcome to the Open Forum. Everybody knows the rules and the score. Tonight, we welcome back again Dr. David Murphy. Now, Dr. David Murphy is a versatile speaker. We've had him as a guest on numerous occasions. He's spoken on law, he's spoken on finance, he's spoken on climate and on decluttering and on other topics. So he's a very versatile speaker and very loyal to the Open Forum, willing to come back for the nth time. But he's never spoken yet on anything quite like this topic, the lost doctrine of Mary Magdalene, what you have never heard of before, and is now published. His book is on Kindle, which is an Amazon subsidiary in 8 countries, on e-books, if you're IT savvy. He's an author and researcher, and he'd like to share his conclusions with you tonight on the lost and secret doctrine of Mary Magdalene. Welcome David Murphy, please. You can sit down if you'd like.
No, I talk. I'm like a teacher, I talk.
Oh,
I stand
right.
up and talk.
Oh, that's okay.
Extrapolate and talk. So, as we know, Mary Magdalene was a major important person, the most important woman in the New Testament. Just about one of the only ones, actually, because of the Petrines wrote out many of the other women. So, who are the Petrines? Do you know, we've got the Magdalenes and the Petrines. Who are the Petrines? That's right, yes. Mary Magdalene appears in the Gospels, she disappears in the Acts. She doesn't seem to be there. Maybe at Pentecost she was there, but it would seem that after Pentecost there was a separation of the ways between those of the Magdalene persuasion with John and those of the Petrines, who got written up in Acts and so on. So, if you study the New Testament, in John, what we call John, the fourth gospel, there's a clue as to who wrote the fourth gospel. Who is it? Can you remember who the clue is given 3 times in that gospel as to who wrote that gospel? Because it's not a clue that John wrote it.
Yeah, which gospel is that?
The fourth one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Well, it's got John's name tagged on it, but there's no clue that he ever wrote it. In fact, in Acts, it said he and Peter were uneducated and unschooled. So how could he write that? And how could he write the letters? So that's the first clue. Now, do you remember or do you know how that person describes themselves? The disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't know if you remember that or remember that. That person mentions that they are the disciple whom Jesus loved. So people think, oh, that's John.
Yeah.
Well, if you say that's John, then it's implicit that Jesus only loved one disciple and didn't like any of the others. Then you get that argument, that he liked one disciple and he was a man and he didn't care much for any of the others. Now, that seems to be going off in the wrong direction, if you say it was a man. So that's saying Jesus was gay, because he loved a man. But he didn't like any of the others. So you get a strange argument. So it's got to be taken in another sense. What sense might that be?
A lover.
A romantic sense. A lover. So who was it? Now you start to work it out. Who was it?
Jesus.
Mary Magdalene.
That's the clue. Because she, if you read it, what is written there, it seems to be written by somebody who was there at the time, recounting from their own memory. But there's not much clue that John was in any of those particular places. That keeps coming up. So, once you think, well, was it Mary Magdalene? Then you start to see a whole bunch of clues come up. And they're planted. Because what was the custom of the time if a woman wanted to write? 2,000 years ago. She had to write under the name of a man to get published. She couldn't do it. But a custom was they'd put clues in there. Women used to do this sort of thing. Because women were trained as well too to be scribes and do different things. So Mary Magdalene, it appears, was temple trained. Now, Paul was temple trained as well, too. Mary Magdalene is temple trained. She's very erudite. If she can write something like that gospel, and 1 John, because we know 1 John, what we call 1 John, which I call Mary's epistle, are both written by the same person, if you study them. The themes and the wordings and things are the same.
So the women were temple trained
too? Yeah, women were temple trained. I'm going to tell you about the tradition of Mary Magdalene going back to the creation of a particular order of women at the time of the coming together of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And there were two orders that were created at the time. We'll come back to that in a moment. That's her tradition. That gives you an idea of their practices. It's very interesting. So, we come to the conclusion, there is no evidence that John wrote the gospel ascribed to John, nor 1 John. But there are clues planted there that it was Mary Magdalene. Because she's got 12 particular incidents, 12 write-ups on things. And they're written by a person who can remember it from memory. They're working from memory,
yeah.
Like they were there. In fact, she even puts the words in that were said. So they must have been there. Now, there's another clue as to who wrote that it was Mary Magdalene. Because if you look at 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, have you heard of those? Three epistles. 1st, 2nd and 3rd John. It says at the beginning of 2nd John, to the elect lady and her children. Who's the elect lady? She was the one that was nominated, could be the alternative to Peter. And there's heaps of clues in there about that. So, to the elect lady. She was elect, she was supposed to be a leader, but it got to be Peter. So the elect lady was Mary Magdalene, which means 2 John is written to the writer of 1 John. It's a response. The style is different. It's done by scribes. Scribes cost money, so they're short. Short little things. 1 John is longer. Different style. But same style as the 4th Gospel. So we come down. It appears to be Mary Magdalene who is the writer. Now Mary Magdalene comes from a different tradition than Peter. The Peter we call the Petrines. And from that, the Petrines become the Catholics, the Orthodox, the Protestant, and who knows what else. So they're all the Petrines, but you've never heard of the Magdalenes. Yet, in the New Testament, we have a battle between two houses. Who are those two houses? Two dynasties, two houses. Magdalene and Iscariot. And Iscariot, Judas Iscariot.
Oh, Jesus.
You've heard of Judas. Who is his father? You can work it out in the 4th Gospel, because she puts the clues in there. Peter Iscariot.
Peter's Judas's father.
Read it, have a look. It's either the father or the uncle, I can't remember quite which. But the clues are there, she's put them in there. So you think, wow. So we got a battle, the Magdalenes versus the Iscariot. In beginning of Acts, you may remember, there was an election. Because the previous bishop had died. The bishop had died and they drew straws. And a guy called Matthias became the next bishop. Who was the first bishop? Judas. Judas was the first bishop of the Catholic Church. Well, have a look. Read it for yourself. Work it out. So, very interesting. Now, so, we've got some clues. There's also another clue at the end of 2 John, I think it is, where he also refers to her elect sister. Who is the elect sister of the elect lady?
Martha.
That's right, Martha. Martha, so that family was elect. That means they were supposed to be leaders. But their doctrines are a bit different. Now, let's see where their doctrines diverge from the Catholics and the Orthodox. What is a major fundamental sacrament in the Catholic Church? One of the major ones.
Baptism. Baptism and communion.
Marriage. In Petrine, you've got marriage. And marriage is not a Christian doctrine, because you get married in Buddhism, Islam, you get married in Hindu. Communists get married, Nazis got married. It's nothing particularly Christian. It's just something that happens as a natural thing. But in Magdalene, if we call it Magdalene Orthodox, you don't get marriage. There's no concept of marriage in Magdalene Orthodox Christianity. You won't find teaching on marriage in the fourth gospel and in First John. It's not a Christian concept. Now, you might think, oh, it's a Christian concept. You tell me what verse teaches or says thou shalt get married. It's not a commandment in the 613 Jewish commandments in the Old Testament. Thou shalt get married. Don't say that. Just don't commit adultery. But if you don't get married, you don't commit adultery. So what's the problem? That's only in anticipation of getting married. So you don't commit adultery. So it's no problem. So you don't have marriage. Now, there's a verse. New commandment. What is the new commandment that Jesus gave?
Love one another.
Love one another. What is the corollary of that?
As though I've loved you.
That gets said. Love one another, not one other. Love one another, not one other. Why stick with one? It is not a Christian concept. In fact, you tell me a verse in the New Testament that extols marriage. There is only one that they refer to. And as you said, somebody said, what's the verse that in the New Testament that's not true? And it's this particular verse. Now, Jesus' view on marriage is actually in 19:10, which was Matthew 19:10, which is stay away from it. Don't get married. It is better if you can handle it. Don't get married. Don't do it. It's in 19:10. But in other verses, you've got, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and go, a man shall leave his mother and his father and go to be with his wife and the two shall become one. Have you heard of that? Yeah. Okay, think about it. Who is Jesus saying, well, if you're going to talk about that, who's dominant? Men or women? Which one?
It's more for men.
Because a man goes to the woman, not the woman going to the man. So women are dominant. Okay, Jesus likes women. So, it's not, think about it. The man goes to the woman, not the woman going to the man. However, how do you know that verse that he threw back at the Pharisees, giving it to them, was made up? How do you know that's not true? This is what they quote as the support for marriage in the New Testament. There's hardly anything. There are some teachings of Paul. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, don't get married. That's not really teaching anything about you should get married. Just don't change because the world's about
there's
to end, so
wedding,
why bother?
There's a wedding at Cana.
There was. What's the message of the wedding at Cana? There's a message in that. Mary puts it in there in early John. Early Mary. What is it?
It's a miracle.
No, if you're going to get married, at least have good wine.
That was to his mother.
That was to his mother. He was a bit meaner to his mother than Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the... It's like she got appointed by the temple to this prophet. And she got appointed. So she kept the record. What we've got there is the temple record of Jesus and so on. It's different to the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, which all seem to have a common root if you read them. The fourth gospel is different. And we know it's written by a woman. Like it mentions love 57 times. In the other gospels, it's only about 15. There's a preoccupation more with love. So I'll go back to that verse we were talking about. How do you know? How did they know? Jesus threw it back at the Pharisees and they knew it was a made up verse. How do you know? For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and go to be with his wife or his woman and the two shall become one. How do you know that was made up? Who was he quoting? That's a quote from the Old Testament. Who was he quoting?
Genesis.
Adam. So what's the problem?
Is that about
Couldn't be true, because Adam didn't have a mother and or a father. He had no idea what they were. So he couldn't have said it. So they knew it was a joke. And that's what he threw back at them. So much for marriage. It's not a Christian teaching. Love one another, not one other. Have a multiplicity. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't go through sequential relationships that have to bust up and break up and you go through the big crunch before you move on to the next one. Have about five going at once and it doesn't matter if you lose one. You won't fret about it. Love one another, not one other. But love thy neighbour as yourself.
Is that for both men and women, or is it just for men?
Well, Mary doesn't seem to differentiate.
Hang on, it does say in one part where husbands love your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it doesn't say you've got to get married. If you already are married, love your wives. But it talks about divorce in Matthew 9 and 10 and how it's done itself because of hardness of heart.
Does Jesus talk about divorce, doesn't he?
Yes, he mentions it in Matthew 9 and 10. They talk about, because the scribes said, what about divorce? About Moses and some things. Now, I've given you something to read. Can we have a few comments on what you read? Any thoughts about what you read? Because all of these things are in my book, but it goes much further. Like this idea of love is different to the waffle you've heard. Okay, let's look at the concept of love in the New Testament. Under the Petrines, love is service. We agree with that, service. Service. The other love should be confined to marriage, they say. Should be marriage. But in Magdalene, it's something different because it comes from a different tradition. It comes from a tradition of the temple prostitutes going back to the time of King Solomon, who were part of the temple. What did they do? Priestesses. Priestess-destitutes, think about it. So love has a different meaning.
They prayed and...
Well, how did they pray?
They prayed to their God. Or...
You may have heard of the concept of making love as an act of worship. Maybe people have thought that. This should be an act of worship. Making love as an act of worship. So that women did things like that. So, going back to the origin of the two orders I was talking about at the time of King Solomon. What are the two orders that were created at the time of King Solomon? You know one, it's well known. You may not know the other one well known. You'll know the name now. Who were the two orders? One is male, one is female. Who are they? Why were they created? Both of them to do with King Solomon, but two orders came. One's virtually disappeared, and don't know, what's the male order, which had to do with a guy called Hiram Abiff and the founding of the temple. What is that order? You've been along to enough of these talks, you should know it. Masons. Masons trace back to the foundation of the building of the temple of King Solomon. You've heard that. What's the female order called?
So optimists.
No. Good name, but that sounds Greek.
Nuns.
Daughters of Zion. It's mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. It's mentioned a few times in the New Testament. In the fourth gospel, see, O daughter of Zion, thy king, riding on a donkey. Oh. Who was that woman they were talking about?
Mary.
She was a figurehead. She was a priestess. She was a priestess. She was temple trained. She had access to temple money. Like you remember, she anointed Jesus.
This is Mary the mother or Mary Magdalene?
I talk about Mary Magdalene because Mother Mary never did any doctrine.
But she was the one that was walking on...
She got roused on.
She was the one walking on the donkey.
The king was riding on the donkey. In Magdalene Christianity, you've got the king very strongly. Jesus is the king. And she's in love with the king. So, the daughters of Zion come from the time of King Solomon. As you know, King Solomon, what did he build?
Temple.
Where'd he get the money? He said to be the richest man at the time. Where'd he get the money? He was smart. He was really smart. How'd he get the money?
Taxes.
Not quite.
His father.
They could all do taxes. David didn't have much money. No. He was seventh.
There was some queen, Saba or something.
Queen Sheba.
Queen of Sheba.
She came and gave some tribute, but that wouldn't have made as much money as this idea someone gave him. You know, how many wives did he have?
A lot.
700.
A lot of concubines too.
300. 700 wives. 700 dowries. What a way to make money. You build a temple out of it. Maybe the concubines paid up some money as well too. So we have the foundation of the daughters of Zion from 700 wives and 300 concubines. What sort of doctrine have they got of love? It's not waffle, as it has become. Something much more dynamic. But we have the concept of service too, which is important. But we've got something which is quite wild that comes out in the sacraments in Magdalene. We have the orders in Magdalene Christianity. You may not know the orders. Well, you wouldn't know the orders. Nobody knows them. They're based on females. What's one of the major orders in Magdalene? The first woman. The order of Eve. Eve did not accept guilt. She was virtually the first person in the Bible to put on a defence. So, you get Magdalene is more feisty in the courts and things. So she put on a defence. She didn't accept guilt. The clothes were given to her, which suggested guilt. So she probably didn't wear them unless it was cold. So you can work out what the order of Eve is about. Another order is the order of Rahab. You can work out that. Esther, Diana, and various other orders that come through. So we have female orders in Magdalene Christianity, not male orders. We don't have the concept of marriage. In the book, there are 5 plays. If you get it. It's only $12 on Kindle to buy the book, and you also get the She Bible. Has anyone heard me talk about the She Bible before? What is a She Bible? There's never been one published before, but I did the first one. She Bible is where God is she, not he. Because there are 2 verses in the Old Testament that allow God to be she. And so based on those 2 verses in the Old Testament, God is not a man that he should lie, and let us make man and woman in our own image. Let us make man in our own image, after his own image he created them, male and female in his own image, or in her own image. So the image of God is male and female. So you can have a She Bible. The She Bible is the New Testament and the Royal Crown Line books of David. Going back before David, it gets too aggressive and so on. So it's hard to do. I'll leave that for somebody else to do it. He's a masochist who wants to do that. So as I said, there seems to be a battle between 2 dynasties, the Magdalene and the Iscariots. And if you look in the 4th Gospel, in what we call John, you'll work out that Peter was the father of Judas. So we have the Iscariot being the Catholic Church, and the spin-offs, as I call them. Now, why is it... So, if Mary Magdalene had a lot of prominence, she wrote a gospel, she also wrote a letter, what does that sort of make up? She is the only writer in the New Testament who did both a gospel and a letter, and nobody's worked it out. That makes her a leader. And if you look at the first John, the letter Mary wrote, she addresses the fathers of the church. She's above them, she's addressing them. You'll find it in there. In the book which I've done, I've got a contribution by another doctor, Dr. Andrew Theophanus. Anyone heard of him? He's probably spoken here, I suppose. I haven't discovered him yet. He'd be a good one to get.
Well, if you
I
like
can give you his number sometime. When
yes, do that. I'd like you to do that.
He wrote, in the interest of balance, because I talk Mary Magdalene contrasted or arising from her tradition of 1,000 years of temple priest destitutes and what they used to do. Whereas he talks about the Gnostics, the Gnostic tradition. You've heard of the Gnostics. What are they? Yeah, they're like the Essenes.
Not the Essenes. The Essenes are very different.
They believe in knowledge.
The Gnostics, we remember, talk about knowing.
Yeah, they believe in knowledge.
Like what's that? Everybody knows something. Knowing. Gnosis. Now, in, I think it's 1 Corinthians, what's the name given for the gifts of the Spirit that are Gnosis? It's actually two gifts. What are they? I think it's the same thing. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You've heard of those? That's knowing, Gnostics. Knowing those things. So it's not much different, really. So I'd say the daughters of... So... if we say Mary Magdalene was more erudite than Peter, and if you look at the 21st chapter of John, Peter gets the boot. What happens? He gets reverted back to Simon Peter. If you work out in 1 John, who was in the boat together? Remember Peter, it says Peter girded himself with his clothes when Jesus called from the shore. Because Peter was naked in the boat. And who was in the boat? To give blessings for the catching of the fish. A priestess. I'll let you work out the story about that. You can work out what happened. Why there was a debt. Now, if Mary Magdalene is the leader, and Magdalene Orthodox, or as we call it, is a legitimate form of Christianity, what does this lead as an implication to? A claim. A claim for what? By the Magdalenes who will come from reading the book and realising this was there all the time. What will the claim be?
That we are legitimate.
Yes, and what does that mean? This will be a battle that will go on the courts for decades and centuries. What is it? When they wake up to it.
Well, the church has been hijacked by the Petrine line.
Yes, by the Petrines, which means the claim on all the assets and property of the Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant churches is Magdalene. That's the fight we're looking at coming up eventually. They will work out. It's all Magdalene. It is not the Petrines. It's going to be a battle over property, assets, and so on. You can see it's going to be big. So the book that I've written is a battle script. It's a battle manuscript. It's a declaration of war. If you read it, if you work it out, it goes into the doctrine. From the doctrine, it becomes a declaration of war. And somebody, somewhere, is going to work out. It's a declaration of war against them, the Petrines. Somewhere. A whole bunch of them who aren't even Christians, probably, and have just got lots of money and so on. So it's a declaration of war, the book. Very interesting one.
Is this the Gospel of Mary Magdalene?
When you go into it, since if she's the leader, we need a leadership change. If we're going to have Pope, it's got to be a woman.
The men, well, the
Pope's one was Pope John, wasn't it? There must have been a dumb bunch of people not to notice something like that. How could you not notice that?
That's a card
they must have
game.
Known.
That's a card game, Pope Jones.
So Mary Magdalene got bad press. She got a bad name. Why?
They made her look like a prostitute.
They made her look like a prostitute because she was a priest destitute. Nothing wrong with that. That's true, I love them. Waffle. But a lot of them, they do, what they do is waffle. So, she was a chief contender. So she had to be denigrated because she was a chief contender and it was known. So she got a bad name. In a homily done by Pope Gregory in 591, if you read that, it's respectful, but he's sort of putting it down. So you can read that. You'll find it in Google, what Pope Gregory had to say. But it was a bit loaded. So she was a chief contender. They seem to have known that she wrote some gospels. But it seems that they're trying to keep the lid on something and not admit to anything, because they don't want anyone to know it. But why would they bother saying that when, if you read the first John and the Gospel of John, you won't find out that she was a naughty woman or anything like that. That doesn't come through, but she got a bad name later on because of her tradition going back to the time of King Solomon with the tradition of the women in the temple doing their things. So, they denigrated. Also because marriage is not a Magdalene concept. You won't find teaching on marriage in 1 John or the 4th Gospel. So since she wasn't married, they were all prostitutes or something. So they got bad press. So there was that. It was just to keep it down because there could be a challenge. And they gave the Albigenses and people like that a hard time, who were revered in the Gospel of John. In fact, there's an alternate Gospel of John, the 4th Gospel around, which comes back, traces right back. Apparently Mary Magdalene did 2 editions. And there's one that comes through France. It's called the Gospel of the Beloved, the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple. Something like that, the Gospel of the Beloved Disciple. And if you read the other one, it's very similar and interesting. So apparently she also, not only was she a writer, she did 2 editions. There's another one floating around. You'll find it on the Google. I bought a copy of it. I should have brought it tonight. But there is another one. And it's very similar. It just builds on a few things, which you can see the style is the same. Like she did them 10 or 20 years apart. She did one maybe in Israel. She moved to France, if that's any of that true, and did another one. Because the other one turns up in France. And that led to the near annihilation of the Albigenses. You've heard of those? Mm-hmm. Under the Pope? Around $1,200, $1,200 years. He wanted to kill them all off. But the book survived.
Kill them all, God will know his name.
Hmm?
Kill them all, God will know his name.
Hmm. But the book survived. And it's been translated and it's in English. The Gospel of the Beloved Companion, I think it's called. The Something of the Beloved Companion. If you look it up, Beloved Companion, and Jean Quillen was the translator. I want to look that up and find that out. So that's something interesting. Any other questions? Any questions?
Well, hang on. Before we take questions, if you finish the body of your talk, I'll make the usual commercial. It won't take me long.
You haven't finished?
A little bit more. A little bit more.
Good.
A little bit more. So, Judas was useful for something. What was it? They say he betrayed Jesus, yes.
Yeah, that,
and
that.
Hmm?
He killed, he docked Jesus.
Peter betrayed Jesus, so he got the boot later on.
Oh, all right.
So okay. It was a demotion, bad career move. So, Judas betrayed Jesus.
That's right.
But Judas did something useful. What was it? Yeah, Jesus didn't handle the money first time around. Jesus let it all go to Judas, who's a thief. So, in I think it is John 12, you get this comment about Mary Magdalene anointing Jesus with what?
The oil. And her tears.
Mm. But Judas says on the anointing with expensive spikenard, what does he say how much it's worth? Do you remember that?
Something like a year.
A year's supply of a labourer's wage. Where did Mary Magdalene get that year's supply of a labourer's wage to anoint Jesus. Gives a clue. She has access to the temple. Temple. Anointment. Temple. Things. Also, there's mentioned when Jesus was betrayed, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who had access to the temple, was known to the chief priest. She's giving another clue. She has access rights in the temple. She's known. There are other clues. If you look for them, there are other clues. Now, in my book, I do a hypothetical play between Mary Magdalene and a guy called Diotrephes. Who's he? Who remembers where Diotrephes turns up? Diotrephes was a Judaizer, saying, you've got to keep all the Old Testament rules. Become a Christian, you've still got to keep all the Old Testament laws. It was a Judaizer.
Could you spell his name for me, please?
D-I-O-T...
Just a second. D-I-O-T... Excuse me, please, one at a time. D-I-O-T...
D-I-O-T... I'm going to tell you something you've never heard from the Catholic Church.
D-I-O-T...
They won't tell you this one.
Hang on,
D-I-O-T...
please. Hang on, please. I'm listening. D-I-O-T...
R-O-P-H...
R-O-P-H...
Yes.
Okay, I'll look up my Bible dictionary, which is 1851.
Well, it's the name. Diotrephes.
I'll see.
Turns up in second or third John. Second or third John.
Let me finish my question, please.
Yes. Yeah, but it's not question time yet.
Not yet.
Jewish and Jesus, that's the same people that you're talking about now.
No.
He was against the Jews and Jesus. They're going to shop up on the junction for the Jews and Jesus.
You're talking about
Jesus.
Pharisees.
Yes, the Jews and
Jesus. No, I'm talking about a Judaizer, not a Pharisee. Different. So, it was a Judaizer. You've got to keep the old law. Rearrange the letters of Diotrephes. What do you got? Rearrange it. Be pretty good if you can do that in your head. Let's see who the battle is between. Rearrange Diotrephes. What have you got? Most people wouldn't have thought to ever do that. Priesthood. Diotrephes, turn it around. Priesthood might be one letter different, but you've got the word priesthood. That's the Catholics. Petrites. The Magdalenes were different. They were female. They went off. In my book, I do a hypothetical tribunal hearing between Mary Magdalene and Diotrephes. And out of that, I've got a doctorate. Because it's such an unusual area of doctrine and theology. I've got a doctorate on that. It's in the book. Got a few doctorates. It's not five, actually. How strange how they came up. So, that's about it. Any other comments on what I gave out there?
Was it fiction or not?
What?
Mary. Was it half out?
Was she fiction?
Mary or Jesus. Because I don't believe he got in the camp from the clock, from the cave. He went up to heaven. That's a lot of bullshit.
If you really read it closely and study that it was Mary Magdalene and you come to the conclusion this is the most foremost style of literary literature 2,000 years ago of a woman who writes under a man's name and so on, you start to get a proof that Jesus was real because you wouldn't get that incredible proof that comes through. It's in the book. It can't be rebutted virtually that you get the most prominent version of this.
Show us your book.
Where's it's your an book? E-book. I haven't got it. We don't even have a printed copy yet. I haven't got a printed copy yet. It's an e-book at the moment.
Well, look, I think it might be better if you wait for questions because there will be lots.
Okay, let's do questions. I'm about done.
Okay, you're right. Are you ready to take questions now?
Yep.
Okay. Right. It's now time to throw your questions at David. And don't all speak at once. I know you're modest. And you just be quiet for a minute because you've had the lion's share. Just you come back. You come back for more later. Okay, any questions?
No, only comments.
Well, come on, if you want to say something, say it.
We are just stunned. So that's why it's better if you talk. Because, you know, it's kind of making your head around all you're talking about. You know, questions are about something that most people know, and then they just say, what about this, this, this? I know it. Sometimes I speak about new topic, and people don't know what to say. I think that's the situation now.
Yes, well, people would not have heard about Magdalene Orthodox or Magdalene that it's there. But you can work out what the doctrines are and work it out. It becomes quite wild. It becomes quite wild. It is totally different to Petrine. It is virtually the opposite, but it's doctrinal and it doesn't contradict scripture and so on. But this concept of what love is, not the service sort, the other sort, you just make your head boggle considering there's no marriage. It's quite interesting. So it becomes quite revolutionary.
Excellent. Well, now...
Are you saying that the temple priestess used to make love to people as some sort of prayer to God?
Yeah, there are legends on that. Not many. But there are people thought, why isn't making love... Why isn't there a religion based on it? Mm. Making love, why isn't there? I'm sure people would have thought that. Well, yes, it's Magdalene Orthodox. It comes through in a few of the other things that were around about 2,500 years ago too.
But
it's not waffle.
But then she was seen as a prostitute for doing that.
She was in that tradition. Where do you think she got the bad name from? Because they knew that tradition and they lumped it on her. But they had to keep the lid on it. So it didn't get around because they knew things, but if it all got out, it could cause trouble. So they tried to keep quiet. But
what about the woman that was going to get stoned? Was that her?
No.
That was somebody else?
No, that was somebody else. That wasn't her.
The more than one prostitute in Jerusalem.
Now, in the story about the stoning of the woman, they brought a woman, the Pharisees brought a woman to stone. What did Jesus do?
He wrote on the ground.
Yes, I'll come to that.
He who has no sin may cast the first stone.
And then he started writing on the ground. What did he write?
The names and the sins of the people.
Sorry, I couldn't hear. What did he write? Okay, what he wrote, they started disappearing.
Therefore, any statement about that is pure surmise and guesswork.
Yes, there's one good guess. When he did that, they started disappearing. They started going away. What was he writing, do you think?
Their names and what they have done.
One can imagine, but there is no concrete evidence that he may have been writing the names of those who had sinned.
No. He was writing the names of their mistresses. He was catching them out and they all took off.
One or the other.
Because they had mistresses.
There is nothing specific or concrete that would prove that was the case.
But that's the guess, best guess.
It's purely a guess and it might be wrong.
Might be right. It might be.
It might be right, but it might also be wrong. We don't know for sure.
It might have been names of people they killed in the courts. They could have killed people through court actions. Yeah, could be that. They started disappearing off. Could be showing them up.
But
didn't
it was
be a mistress,
something
mistress.
That made them ashamed.
Yeah, it must have had something to do with shame.
Yeah, shame. He probably knew who their mistresses were. Yeah, probably everyone did. Any other questions?
Yes, let's have a few. Don't be modest.
Well,
you've got a reputation to live up to before we have supper. Yes, Helmut.
You're going to write a book on that.
Hmm?
Do I understand that?
What, sorry?
You're going to publish a book on this.
The book is already available on Kindle.
All right.
$12.
Good.
And it's both The Gospel Trial and Claims of Mary Magdalene, also with the She Bible. 1,400 pages on Kindle for $12. It's good value. Australia.
And you will give people information on how to access that.
I've got to go to Kindle and work out how to find it. But if you look up She Bible, you'll find it on Kindle. You can virtually go to Google, Kindle, She Bible, and it'll probably land right on
them. Okay, I'll write that down.
Can I glass of water, please?
Or you could do Gospel Trial and Claims of Mary Magdalene.
Right. Any other comments or questions? Come on, we've got a reputation to live up to. You know,
the Catholic people would like what you were saying tonight. I don't think the Catholic people would like what you were talking about.
I would say the Catholics half would love it and half wouldn't. Because half of them are half Magdalene anyway. Not in practice.
But
But Mary Magdalene has risen up to about the fourth position in 2016 in the Catholic Church. Uh-huh. She's the apostle to the apostles. Now I bring this up, they got a problem. She's got to get to number one eventually. But she's already about four. She's the apostle to the apostles, according to the current Pope.
She's the apostle to the apostles.
The apostle. She was the one who first appeared at the tomb, the risen tomb.
Yeah.
And she got the job of running back.
Yeah,
one woman pointed out to me something that made me think. She ran back and she outran Peter. Why?
Well, they made out that it was John, and John was a lot younger.
That was an interesting comment. She wasn't being slowed down by a long dress. Why? Maybe she was naked because she was Order of Eve. So who knows? Priestesses did that. So did slaves. There were plenty of naked people running around. They were slaves. They were naked. They weren't all dressed. It was normal back then. They do it still in India. Still going.
They do. Right. Now, before we have supper and before I say a couple of words.
No, that's right.
What?
You give it some more time.
No, I'm not going to give you more time. If you've got something to say, say it.
Because
and I'm listening.
You have to be thoughtful first.
Excuse me. Hang on. Are you speaking for other people, are you?
Yes.
Well, don't.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is anybody wishing... Thank you. Is anybody wishing to make a comment or say anything whatsoever? Now is your big opportunity.
When did Mary die? We hope you don't
are they saying France?
She went to France, Jesus.
Mary Magdalene has had a big effect in France, so maybe she did go there. Why? Because she was very much involved with Jesus. Jesus was under a death sentence. When he rose, the problem was he was still under a death sentence. He had to disappear. If you go and look up in Google, Jesus in India, you'll find a whole lot of stuff there. He went to the lost 10 tribes, kept going with his mission. She split off because the place was too hot to stay there. She went to France because she'd been mixing with them and was getting hard times, so she went.
Right. Yes, Robert.
I've heard that some story about Mary Magdalene, and she was supposed to marry Jesus or something. Yeah.
Not in the Bible.
You've not heard that one?
No. They really try and say they were married, but you won't find it there.
But that was his mother, wasn't she? Jesus?
That's Mother Mary.
Okay, Bob, come on.
She had no doctrine.
Get in.
Some people think that Jesus didn't die on the cross, he just faked it. Is that possible?
Who knows? But if it was all faked and it wasn't real, you wouldn't get 10 disciples, apostles, 11 disciples going to messy deaths as martyrs if they knew it was all fake. They wouldn't do it. The fact that 11 of the apostles died a messy death were martyrs.
That's not what he's saying.
Not that kind of fake. He had the ability to stop breathing and they took him off. And he escaped.
I don't think anyone's got the ability to stop breathing.
Oh,
I don't think that's great. I can't
May I interpret what I think you're saying? What I think he's saying, and there's a lot of writers who do say this, not just Bob, a lot of writers say that when Jesus was taken down from the cross, he was not dead. He had somehow survived, unbeknown to the Roman guards. He was put in a cave, and he reappeared because he was not dead in the first place, and this was deemed to be a miracle. And they say, if Christ has not risen, our faith is in vain. Well, the whole basis of Christianity is the belief that Christ rose from the dead.
Well, the centurion thought he was dead because he didn't come along and break the legs. He stabbed him in the side instead of breaking the legs. The tradition was him in the legs.
He couldn't do that.
So the centurion would know what he's doing. He might have been still alive,
might he not?
He might.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
But if he got stabbed in the side, he'd react.
No, he moved. If you're... have really control of your breathing, which some people do, and you can go blush white, and you can't have a pulse, and you're still alive. People have done that for an hour or two.
Mm.
and what's happening, you have fibrillation instead of breathing, and instead of a pulse, and you look dead.
So you're saying he's, he took off, or he stayed dead, or
no?
They took him away from the sea in public. Mm-hmm. He woke up. He wasn't really asleep. He was meditating so deeply, he didn't seem to be alive. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
It is possible. Don't forget, he was an extraordinary man, Dave. And for that reason, he quite easily could have had control over his faculties, which other people do not have. And thus, the legend of rising from the dead when he wasn't dead. That's what I've always thought, anyway.
He could also have been clinically dead or in a state close to death from which he nonetheless revived.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes. Okay.
But they do say, where would he learn those breathing techniques? India. And it is said that from the age of 12 to 30, he took off to India with trade routes and market and things and came back. So there is that tradition that where was he? He was in India and Tibet learning about things. Anyway, that's what they say.
Now, not to cramp anyone's style, are there any further questions, comments of any description before we close? Anybody else? Don't want to stamp on your creativity. Anybody else? Going?
Do you think they had children?
You cannot work out, and I couldn't work it out, that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had children. Can't discount it. But from the beginning of 2 John to the elect lady and her children, apparently Mary Magdalene had. How many fathers? Who knows? How many? I don't know. But it says to the elect lady and her children, because the elect lady was her standing on her side of the church when it split between Petrine and Magdalene. She was the elect lady. So, but they say to her and her children. So, of course she probably did. But was it Jesus? Who knows? However, Jesus was a king. And he would have loved her like a king. Which means he could do what he likes. He was a king.
Now, I personally feel that Christianity would have been a far better institution had it been founded by women. Because women would not have had all of those absurd conclaves, doctrinal disputes. They would not have done it. Women are practical. Women are not interested in doctrinal and ideological hair splitting about how many angels can dance on the point of a needle. Women are interested in people. Women are interested in practical things. And for that reason, had Christianity been founded by women, it would have been far more tolerant, it would have been far more human, fewer people would have been killed or persecuted or burnt at the stake, because, and certainly far fewer witches would have been burned at the stake in the Middle Ages, in the awful Middle Ages. We have emerged from that. We are now living in a post-Christian era in the Western world. In the Western world, I don't include other certain countries in Africa and maybe the Philippines, they're not. But most Western countries, meaning the Western industrial democracies of Europe, Australasia and North America, those countries are predominantly skeptic now. If we look at the figures, the statistics, well, in Britain, for example, the majority of the adult population don't believe in the afterlife anymore. So I think that there would be several other countries like that, not necessarily America yet, but it's going that way. We're living in a post-Christian era, and Christianity is a worn-out glove or an old shoe, that needs to be resold. Therefore, I would say, had it been founded by ladies, women, or even females, it might have been a better institution. And that's the feeling I get from your talk, David. Hmm. I feel that you are presenting the feminine perspective, which I've always had more
sympathetic. Comes from the tradition,
more sympathetic
about a thousand
with.
Years.
Yeah. I think it would have been better had Christianity been founded by women. And I think Mary Magdalene, as you describe her, has been a much maligned lady. She was a prime contender. She got a bad press. And if this Magdalene revolution happens, that, you know, concerns your declaration, all power to you, all success to you. And I'd like everyone to thank David for presenting his perspective.
What has happened in the Petrine, you have a whole lot of doctrine created by a whole bunch of impotent men. So the love is impotent. The women wouldn't be like that, and they see it all as normal, because that's loving. But you get all this doctrine of impotent men. So, full of...
Surely...
Twisted old ideology.
Surely Christianity was indeed founded by women or a woman. It's just that the guys hijacked.
That's right, it got hijacked. Luke wrote her out of Acts. You don't find Mary Magdalene appearing in Acts. Luke got written out. So Eddie said, well, why did she disappear? Well, she didn't. Actually, there's a gospel she wrote under the name of John, because she couldn't publish in her own name. And the other one, 1 John, is Mary's epistle. So she wrote a gospel and an epistle. And she's the only one who did it, so she qualifies as a leader. Anyway, it's all there. So let's get rid of the impotence doctrines.
Yes. We don't want that.
We're seeing Petrine is going down, Magdalene is coming up.
Thank you, David. Thank you again. Give him another hand.
Thank you. Do you like that?
I sure.
Very much. Mm-hmm. You've spoken on decluttering. What else have you spoken on? You're very versatile.
Good night. See you next week.
We should save home. Yeah, definitely.
Thing about Magdalene, as I said over there, Magdalene Orthodox doesn't put up with crap.
Well, that's because women have no time for hair splitting on doctrinal or ideological issues. They just don't do it. So if the church had been founded by women, it would have been a totally different institution, utterly different, and there would not have been persecution of heretics or deviants. Or
you'd have the element of love coming through a lot more.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not waffle and garbage.
No, well, I'm afraid Christian doctrine has been not only based on a lot of waffle, it's also been very intolerant, and it's killed a lot of people. Yes, it has. It's got blood on its hands, really.
Yes.
Because of the unflinching ideological intolerance of the male animal. Interesting, Dave.
Thank you for inviting me along here tonight.
No, well, I'm a bit apologetic, Dave, because it's a lousy night. You would have had twice the number of people. Just lousy weather. But people are soft. They're timid. They're timid. Never mind. The support will be open for them. Been going for 51 years.
Thank you. Okay. 2 months later. I'll come again. I'll head off.
Well, as soon as you like.